Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. It's a beautiful morning. Walking around the yard this morning, it looks like spring is here with all the flowers trying to come up. The weather's changing. It's a beautiful day. It's good to see everyone here. It's good to have you with us today, Kenny, and we continue to pray that your health will be restored. You know, God does heal us. Prayers help. And I know, Barb, with what you were going through and the prayers of everybody, and you appreciate that so much when your health is made whole again. And friends, that's just a glimpse. That's just a shadow of God's power. When he can heal us of our physical disease, he can heal us of sin if we are obedient to him. And we should be thankful that God can do that, and that we can be his children if we are obedient to him. I want to talk to you this morning, to live is Christ and to die is gain. We're just going to look at a few verses this morning, but it's going to take quite a bit to make the application. I want to read the scripture, the text again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ. That's what we were talking about in class this morning. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful to you. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, and in this letter, Paul has three desires. In chapter 3 and verse 9, he says that he may be found in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 20, that he might magnify Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And the third desire that he had is here in chapter 1 and verse 23, that he would be with Christ. In this lesson, I want to focus on Paul's desire to depart and be with Christ. His dilemma, his strait that he was between. Paul says to live is Christ, and that was Paul's main objective to living, to glorify Christ, to magnify Christ, that souls might be saved and brought to the Lamb of God. So to Paul, Christ was the essence of life. Again, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This was Paul's passion. It was to imitate Christ. Christ was the model of his life, and he encouraged and exhorted the Corinthians to do the same in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. We sing a song sometimes, Jesus is all the world to me. Is Jesus all the world to us? Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He's my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. Do we make Jesus the center of our life? Paul did, and this should be the mindset, the attitude, the disposition of every Christian. That Jesus indeed is my all. We depend on him. He's the model of our life. He's the comfort of our life. You know, there are many problems, many difficulties, many troubles, but the only one that we can go to for refuge is Christ. There's not any other. We can go to man, but sometimes man will let us down. Christ will never let us down. Jesus gives us strength. He gives us encouragement. He aids us. He assists us. And so to live indeed is Christ. And then Jesus is also our reward of life. Christ is the source and hope of glory in a better world. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you will be also." Do you want to go to heaven? I hope we all do. Why do you want to go to heaven? That's an important question to ask also. When I was growing up, one of the favorite places that I looked forward to going to was Tennessee. That was where we went for vacation every year. We went to vacation there because that's where we had family. We would go there. But when I was growing up, and we would go there, I loved the scenery. The mountains, they were just so beautiful. I loved the ponds. All my uncles had at least one pond, one or two ponds. My grandpa had a couple ponds. We didn't have that up here. We could go fishing everywhere. They had fireworks down there. We couldn't buy fireworks up here and shoot them off, but you could go to Tennessee and buy fireworks and shoot them off. And I loved that as a child. Well, as I grew older, my mother died. My dad went and moved back to Tennessee. And we would keep going to Tennessee, but then the focus became seeing my father. And I loved to go to Tennessee, not to go fishing in those ponds or to play with fireworks, but to see my father. And every time it got to a certain point, every time we would leave, I would think, will I ever see my father again? Will I ever see my father again? And friends, when you want to go to heaven, why do you want to go? Do you want to go to see what streets made out of gold look like, or what a pearly gate looks like, or what an angel looks like? Or do you want to go and be with your Father, your Heavenly Father? And Paul had matured to the point that he is in this dilemma. If I stay here, it's good for you. It's good for you because I can exhort you, I can encourage you, I can teach you. But my desire is to go and be with Christ, to be with Christ. Christ gives us strength. He encourages us. He's the reward of our life. Friends, to Paul, Christ was everything. For me to live is Christ. We have to ask ourselves the question, for you, what is life to you? What is your goal in life? What is your model in life? What is your ambition in life? What is your passion in life? With a lot of people, it's the material things or money. They love the material things of this world, and they use their life completely, wholly, exclusively to accumulate more. And again, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with accumulating things, but that should be secondary. Secondary. Christ should be number one to every Christian. Now, Paul was an educated man. He could have made probably quite a bit of money using his education, but he counted that as nothing, as loss. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, not an education, not money, not fame." There are a lot of people seeking after fame and power and pleasure. And you turn on the TV to listen to what's going on in Washington, D.C., and that's what most of the people there are looking for. Power, fame, and pleasure. That's the heart and core of many people. Lovers of pleasure. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, "Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Friends, Life is only meaningful when Jesus is the center of it in everything that we do. If we don't have that relationship with Jesus, life is just going to be empty. And you're going to see people go from one thing to another, wasting their life trying to find the meaning of life. Paul, what did you say? For me to live is Christ, not money, not fame, not pleasure, not worldly knowledge, but Jesus Christ. To Paul, Christ was first, last, always, and forever. And everything else becomes secondary. Now, Paul says here, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And it takes a lot of faith to make a statement like that. It takes a fearless man to say, to die is gain. But Paul had that faith. What if it were put to you today, the choice to either to live or to die? Or if you stand up for your religious beliefs, you're going to be put to death. Paul said, for me to die is gain. And when Paul, when he came to the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Can we say that we are ready to be offered? Have we done everything that we can? Do we have that relationship with our Heavenly Father? You know, here, Paul, this was just prior to his execution, when he wrote 2 Timothy. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And again, I love these three phrases because it appeals to the three major nations at that time. I fought a good fight. That would get the Romans' ears. I finished the course. The Greeks would pay attention to that because they were interested in athletics. And I've kept the faith. The Jews would have heard that. But you talk about confidence. And brethren, that should be the confidence and assurance of every Christian. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Do you have doubt that you're going to get that? Are you, you know, if we are a Christian, if you are sure that you're a child of God, when you depart, you should have a confidence that you're going to go to heaven. If we don't have that confidence, there's a couple possibilities. Maybe we don't have perfect love yet, because perfect love casts out fear. If you're afraid, maybe you haven't developed that perfect love. And when I say develop perfect love, I mean that love for God, that love, not just some feeling, but that action where you're going to be obeying God all the time. Perfect love, if I do what my Heavenly Father tells me to say, if I do what He tells me to do, if I love Him that much, I can have confidence that He's going to give me that home. Or if you're afraid, maybe it's God's terror and God's justice that you aren't living right, that you know what to do, but you aren't doing it, and you have that doubt in your mind. Well, if we are a faithful child of God, as Paul was, we have that confidence that we can go to heaven. And thanks be to God for that confidence. Just think, if God told us, He gave us this book of instructions to do this, don't do that, and then we weren't sure whether or not we were going to heaven. Wouldn't that make you miserable? You lived your whole life. But friends, we do know if we keep His commandments, if we love Him, that home in heaven is guaranteed. To Paul, dying was a gain because he was a Christian. He had been redeemed by the blood of Christ. He had been reconciled to God. He knew that he was safe in the arms of Jesus. And how did Paul consider himself? He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I am the least of the least. But Paul could have that confidence, again, because of the relationship that he had with Christ and with the Father. And every one of us should be able to say that. If we are walking in the truth, and Jesus, well, and Paul too said, and not only for me, but for those who love the Lord at his appearing. So Paul had that confidence that he was going to go to heaven. And he said, it's not just for me, but to everyone else who loves his appearing. So Paul said he knew that his time of departure is at hand. And in chapter 1, verse 23, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire. He had a desire to depart and be with Christ. Depart to be with Christ. What does that mean? Depart is a euphemism for death. Paul looked at death as a departure, as a leaving. This word depart is used in the original language in the sense of a ship that lifts its anchor and it leaves port and it sets off to a destination. This ship is about to depart. That's how this word originated. It's used among the Greeks as taking up the ropes that would hold down the tent. You pull up the stakes, you take up the ropes, and we're moving on. We're moving on. We're departing. And friends, too, that is when we were talking about mindsets and attitudes in class this morning, that's a mindset and attitude that all of us need to have. We don't live here. We're just visiting here. We are going to depart soon. We're going to lift our anchor, and we're going to move on. We don't want to drive our tent stakes too deep into this old world because we're going to pull our tent stakes up, we're going to take the ropes up, and we're going to move on. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Paul says he wants to be where Christ is. He said that I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. To die, my friends, is gain because it means freedom from this body that we live in. You stop and you think about how this body restricts our souls. The Bible writers write much about putting off this mortal body so that we can be clothed with an immortal body. And we know that is so because we can read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. Let's look at that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. For we who are in this tent, and what's this tent he's talking about, this tabernacle, our body. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. So when we look at this text, he says that we are in this tabernacle, this tent. He's talking about this frail human body. We groan in this body. We are burdened. We have difficulties in this body, aches and pains. Looking out over the audience, I'm guessing if we asked everybody, the majority of people here would have aches and pains. If you don't have them yet, you're going to have them. Because that's common to having an earthly, fleshly body. We groan in our body. We are burdened in our body. And this body is going to be put off. And he says, not that we would be unclothed. In other words, we want our spirits to be clothed that mortality might be swallowed up. Another song we sing sometimes, in that resurrection morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. And that's a beautiful song. And we're going to have a new body, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we've studied recently. We were sown in weakness and we were raised in power. We have a physical body. It's going to be raised up in a spiritual body. We were sown in corruption. We are going to be raised up in incorruption. And here's the freedom that we can have, the freedom that our souls can have. Do I understand that? I don't understand that. There are so many things I don't understand, but just think, this fleshly body, God made it out of dust. It's going to go back to dust, and the spirit inside us is going to live on forever. And when this tent, this body is laid aside, a spiritual body will envelop our soul. And our soul will live on forever, forever with Jesus throughout eternity. And you talk about freedom that our soul has then, it's not going to be consumed with the cares of day to day and the burdens we go through. And this is part of the Christian's hope. And what we're talking about is something real, and it's something that is certain. And that's why Paul could say, for me to die is gain. I'm ready to depart and be with Christ, to move out of this old world to that celestial city. So death is an end in a sense, but it's also a beginning. And you stop and think about when we were talking about mortifying the flesh this morning. Every day we are faced with temptation, because Satan is coming after us. He's trying to pull us back into the world. We have admonition after admonition to be sober, to have self-control. We have to watch, is Satan deceiving us, and are we going to be overtaken by sin? Because friends, sin cannot enter into the presence of the Almighty God. But it's a battle. It's a battle that we go through here as long as we are alive. Are you tired of sin? Are you tired of facing temptations? When we die in Christ and go to heaven, there's not going to be any more temptation. There's not going to be any more sin. And again, I think I mentioned it last week in this sermon, all the difficulties, all the problems that we have in this life, they are a result of sin. And that's all going to be gone. God's going to wipe away all tears in heaven. And I want to go there. I want to go there. I hope you want to go there. And you know the question I ask along with that, if you say you want to go to heaven, do you want to go to heaven more than you want anything else in this life? Because if you don't want to go to heaven more than anything else in this life, you aren't going to make it. God's not going to take second place. God's not going to send the Son down to this earth to suffer and die on a cross for sins that we've committed, and then for us to say, well, I don't know if I really want to commit to you all the way. You know, God gives us salvation for free. For free. And I don't mean there aren't things that we have to do to get it. But if God said in the Bible, if he said, you can go to heaven, but it's going to cost you a ticket, and that ticket's going to cost you $750,000, how many of us would go to heaven? Probably none of us that are here. We couldn't do that. But you see, God doesn't redeem us. He doesn't want our silver and our gold. He wants our heart. He wants our heart. So he says, you come unto me. You love me. You repent of those things that you've done. You change your life. You cling to me. You walk with me. You be my child. I'll be your father. And I'll take you home. Paul was in a strait. Paul said that he'd like to go and be with Christ. Wouldn't all of us like to do that? But don't you feel like you're in a strait? How many of us have family and friends that are lost? We need to be here. We need to be talking to them. We need to be sharing the gospel. We need to be praying for them. And one thing I would suggest too, because I know we all have certain people, we should have a list of certain people that we're praying for, but don't just limit it to those people. Just say, for instance, pick a number 50. Say there are 50 people that you know, and there are 5 people out of that 50 that you pray for all the time. We need to be praying for everybody that we know, because those 5 people, they may or may not have the good hearts. And if we focus all of our effort on these people right here, we might miss the other fruit that's over here. A lot of times, the people that you think are going to accept something or do something, the ones that you think are going to don't, and the ones that you think aren't going to do it are the ones that want to do it. So Paul was in a dilemma. He was in a dilemma. And then to live as Christ, we've got to be faithful throughout our life. A couple examples that come to mind. We were at the meeting at Inglewood Monday night, and Ron and Nella were sitting behind us, and I heard the preacher make a point, and I'm sure this is some questions that never came up when you were growing up in your house. I'm just sure of it. But he made the point. He said, when I was growing up, he said, something we never heard in our house when it was Sunday, are we going today? That was never a question. If it was Wednesday night, are we going? Are we going tonight? That was never a question. A gospel meeting comes up. Are we going to the meeting? That was never a question. Why? Because our commitment is to Jesus. When we give Christ our life, it is His life. That attitude is kind of changed. Another example, sometimes you hear people talk about they can't wait till they retire. They want to move to this place or move to that place so they can enjoy life. Friends, when we have more time, we should pray to be able to work with the congregation where we can promote the Lord's work. We never retire from God's work. Heaven isn't going to be retirement. We're going to be busy in heaven. We're going to be worshiping God for time without end. If I don't understand why people think that they don't enjoy doing something here, when they die, it's magically going to change and they're going to enjoy doing it all the time in heaven. How about a gospel meeting? I've seen over the years, and we're talking about for me to live as Christ. I've seen over the years, and I know of people that have taken off during the week of a gospel meeting. I know one man that would do it often. He would take off so that he would be available to be at the meeting. He wouldn't have any commitments, wouldn't have to worry about work, and he could work during the meeting with the local church. I've seen other people that take off during the meeting, and they just take off. They take off, and they don't come. They go wherever, and the Lord's church, someone else is carrying their load. And that's something we need to talk about in the business meeting tonight. Do we want to have a fall meeting? Do we do it just because we've done it before? Do we do it because the preacher says we ought to do it? And if I say we ought to do it and the congregation doesn't commit to it, it's not going to be successful. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Friends, Christ should be the center of our life. We should long to go to heaven so that we can be with Christ and with our Heavenly Father. And if you don't have that yearning, I would ask you to ask yourself, just how much do you love Jesus? You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved us. How much do we love him? For me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Can you say, if you died today, that when you step out into eternity, that your life is going to be so much better because you've lived the Christian life? You think about the most beautiful place you've ever been, the most beautiful scenery, and you multiply that by a million, and it's still not going to compare with what heaven is like. You think about leaving this life and this body with all the problems and all the sin in life. Friends, heaven will surely be worth it all. You don't want to miss it. If there's anybody here this morning and your life is not right with Christ, we beg you, we implore you to make your life right this morning. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.